Welcome back to the Clean Sailors podcast. Big, big thanks to all of you for your thousands of listens over Series 1. It's been both a pleasure and a massive education to learn from our 32 guests on a whole host of sailing and marine topics, spanning our 25 episodes to date. I remain your host, Holly, founder of Clean Sailors. Let's kick off Series 2. Like most things sailing, our kit has undergone massive transformation over the centuries, evolving from heavy, water-absorbent natural fabrics like wool and canvas and leather to today's lightweight, high-tech synthetic materials designed to ultimately waterproof performance and comfort ourselves. But at what cost? Our highly engineered, highly advanced, laminated and membrane fabrics do undergo intense waterproofing processes to become such, and as a result, over the years, have contained plenty of forever chemicals, like PFCs, perfluorochemicals, very stable, hydrophobic, water repelling, as examples. So how can we be thinking about high performance and sustainability in our modern kit? I'm joined by two pros of Team Henry Lloyd to find out. Matteo, Nick, how are you?
Hello, Holly.
Hey, Holly. Thanks for having us.
Great to see you both. We are gathered here today to discuss the common thread that binds us, and that is the legacy, the ethos, the team, and ultimately, increasingly, the innovation of Henry Lloyd. Matteo Alfieri, as Henry Lloyd's Director of Experimental Design, tell us a little bit about your role for the brand.
So I work as a designer for Henry Lloyd, focusing on the performance sailing gear. I'm deeply involved in product development and design, ensuring that our product meet the standard, high standard required by the sailor, by you, combining the cutting edge technology, sustainability, but also the style. So there is a combination in my role that is technology combining with the styling. So this is really important.
That's really well said, and led by sailors. I think what's so exciting actually is that obviously you've been the design lead for Henry Lloyd's new dynamic range, which we're going to discuss today. But yes, Let's have a quick introduction to Nick Hutton. Nick, you've done a little bit of sailing, a little bit of grinding.
Yeah, so I've done a little bit of sailing in my time. So we've done a few America's Cups and quite a lot of SailGP and quite a lot of offshore and all that other sort of good fun stuff. And I've been incredibly fortunate to travel around the world doing what I grew up loving. And then moving forward in the last few years to be working with Henry Lloyd to try and design, I guess what we'd say is better, you know, better products and something that is more sustainable and better for us to use as an end user. Yeah, it's been a great few last years.
Educational in terms of the brand, but I think, Nick, not to embarrass you, but just to go back to perhaps who you are. Nick is a professional sailor in the extreme, for those of you who may not know him. So he's a whole host of accolades, obviously from America's Cup World Series wins, three America's Cup campaigns in total, tons of TP52ing, keelboat racing, multi-hull racing, and is a solid stalwart member of SailGP's Emirates team GBR, obviously as trimmer and grinder. Basically, if it's worth sailing, Nick has probably done it or will do it. And appreciating your role with Henry Lloyd, as you're describing, as perhaps technical advisor, because you've been working and work in such dynamic sailing environments. My sailing and your sailing is quite different. You're the real dynamic one. What are some of the most important specifications then that you've had as a pro sailor in these really dynamic environments? What do you need from your kit?
I think the biggest thing for me, and Matteo won't hold back any about me breaking his balls for a long time, about making things that are super flexible. I guess the whole ethos for me was feeling like I wasn't wearing sailing kit in a way, because it's very easy to feel restrained and restricted in your movement. So we put a lot of effort into making sure that the fabrics were stretchy and they stretch in the right ways. You know, a fabric can stretch in different planes, so making sure we orientate the fabric to stretch in the right directions is hugely important for us.
How do you now feel about the result of that dynamic range? I mean, does it meet your expectations as a pro sailor as much as obviously a part of Team Henry Lloyd?
I think what we've ended up with is a great product, and I hope that everyone likes using it and enjoys it and values the time and the effort that's gone into it and the features that it has. I guess the hardest thing with all of that stuff now is we'll talk about it in a minute, but is making sure the products we use are sustainable. And it's very easy not to use sustainable products in this process, because it is the easier option still, because that's just the way of the world we are. So it is a challenge to use better products, but that's the way Henry Lloyd and we are going. So it's massively important to keep pushing that forward.
And why then, Why then is this dynamic range important to you as a sailor? Obviously, you touched on the sustainability and the flexibility, but what do you think it represents or feel that it represents within the wider industry that you described?
I think it represents a bit of a change in what we're looking at for in kit. You know, we historically had a wet weather kit that would last for, you know, many years, but not necessarily be very comfortable to wear. So we've tried to create a product that lasts for a long time, but will still be very comfortable to wear. So there's quite a big difference between a product that lasts a long time and is not very comfortable and a product that lasts a long time and is comfortable. So hopefully we've achieved both of those goals.
I mean, it sounds so obvious when you describe it, right? You were aware of the noise, you're aware of the texture, the sort of textile of it. And it was such a pleasure in some ways for all of that, in some ways, to just drop away. I mean, it really is. We'll go into the detail of it in a minute, but it's really quite an achievement, I have to say. I mean, Matteo, you've described this range as tailored for the modern sailor, who's obviously looking for top level performance, innovation, and a high sustainability rating. Why is this range important to you and Henry Lloyd's position now as a designer behind it?
This project is incredibly exciting because it represents combining the performance, flexibility, sustainability in sailing. So basically, we have achieved a perfect balance between a technical feature and eco-friendly material. That is not really easy to achieve that goal because, you know, the chemical all the time helps the fabrics to perform better. And so, the easier way to decide to use the fabrics with the chemical in, because the DWR perform much more better, and the breathability and the waterproofness are more higher. So, but we decide to use the most difficult way, and this is really exciting because after a long year of working around that, basically it's 2 years of working around that project. We made some error and we tried to solve it, and it was a long story. But we are really happy to do that. And also after the testing, we made the testing kit, and Nick did a lot of sailing, and he sent to us all the feedback, and we tried to absorb all the feedback and put and use this feedback to develop the kit in better way. And thanks to the Japanese mills, that is one of the, I think, the best Japanese mill in the world, and with the laminator. So all the time that you are doing a trial, it can be 180 days. So, and you think about that long time, that if you need to do a second round of testing kit, it's almost half a year. So it's a really long story. So, and Nick was a part of that journey with us.
I think it's fascinating for you to sort of in detail describe the process that you went through with the fabric. And in some ways, it goes back to what you were saying, Nick, is that the sort of world that we're in still at the moment, it's so much easier to make the decision which is the most convenient, the most, you know, sort of well-trodden path, where the logistics sort of supply chains are set up already, where the products are obviously on tap. So this is actually taking that a step further and going back to the very, very beginning of designing and making the fabric itself, and some of the sort of waterproofing that you talked about. Obviously, you know, we're now appreciating more recently the impacts of PFCs, so the perfluorochemicals, which are exceptional waterproofers, right? I mean, this has been our kits left, right, and center. And I appreciate one major fabric producer in this arena has obviously committed to also eradicating PFCs in their waterproofing, which they're known for, by the end of this year, because it's can be a very, very damaging substance. So this was, 2 years, you said, in the making as a process.
Yeah. And also it's really important that every year some nation are banning the fluorocarbons. The France in the 2026 are gonna to don't accept anymore this fluorocarbon, and we were pioneer in that. So despite in a lot of countries there are no restriction, we decided to put the restriction, the deadline of the restriction closer to the earth. And also, when we are speaking about long lasting, it's really important that some traditional sailor said that, my gear is still performing really well. But why? Because they have, for example, the DWR C8, C6, that are really dangerous. And all the time that the water goes on the fabric, the water drop down from the jacket and the FOAS, P-F-O-A-S, are falling down in the in the land or in the water. You are, after that process, everybody is drinking the water with the FOAS. So in Italy, is a topic that is every day you can hear in the TV. So the cancer is a problem, and the membrane can produce really serious damage on health. And dynamic motion is trying to match the same performance of the old product, but everything has been designed and engineered thinking about the sustainability and the health of the sailors. So this is really important, I think, for you, Holly, that you are really sensible on that kind of topics.
I think it's incredibly refreshing to hear, right? And I'm interested to see what you think, Nick, because, you know, the way you're describing it, Matteo, obviously any kind of waterproofed kit that we wear, when that gets wet, which naturally it does when you're out on the water, is obviously sort of gently dripping all of that stuff in back into the environment. Also, when we kind of wash and look after that kit, obviously that's also shedding those chemicals.
Yeah.
By virtue of that sort of protest and that sort of waterproofing laminate that's on top. Nick, how do you feel being a pro sailor, working with a brand who's actually thinking about the health of the sailor who's wearing it? I mean, that to me seems so incredibly novel and fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's massively, there's obviously two huge parts to what we just talked about there, that there's the sustainability factor, the environment, but I think that is a huge part. But obviously, if it's directly related to the individual person, then suddenly it even steps up another level on top of that. You know, if you're looking after your body as well as the environment at the same time, it's a huge step change to everything else. So, I mean, the key thing was, you know, doing sustainability without sacrificing performance. And to achieve both of those, as we know, in everything else in the world is a challenge, because we've done it easy for too long. So it is harder, but I think we're there, and hopefully, yeah, as we said, everyone will enjoy what we've made.
And what about sort of the life cycle of the products themselves? I appreciate you've gone far and wide to find the materials for this line in particular, but what kind of steps do you go through to make sure they are more sustainable, environmentally minded? What does the life cycle of Henry Lloyd products look like?
Regarding the material, we are trying to all the material are recycled in Henry Lloyd. So for the dynamic in particular speaking, the face fabric is recycled, polyamide, and the backing is recycled. So the mesh, the back tricot that you can see bonded on the internal part of the fabric is recycled as well. So it is not common, that kind of detail. This recycled nylon is coming from the waste of production. So it's pre-consumer recycled nylon. So they are cutting the fabric, the excess of the fabric, they are melting everything. Regarding the circular cycle of the product, this is really a huge topic, because you know that you think that more is durable a product, more sustainable is. And thinking about also aftercare program that we are gonna to launch for our customer. So if the product has a long lasting life cycle, it's really sustainable. So you don't have to change it every year, and to reprove and to get to keep the same performance without chemical, we need the aftercare program. You know, we need to know how to wash it, because you need to wash, you need to eat during the eating process and after washing. DWR has been reactivated. So this is really important, because sometimes there are the mistake that the taped garment shouldn't be washed, and this is not true. Should be washed with the right temperature, and after some wash, you can reproof with the right product, all the time sustainable, and in that way you can increase the life cycle of the garment. Then in the future there will be the plan but this is really difficult to have a monomaterial garment where there will be the face fabric, the membrane, the glue, that glue for the bonding process, the zipper, the trimmings, all monomaterial. And in that way, you can melt it and return it back again in the process. But this is really, really tricky because you know that sometime a membrane made in nylon is not performing as you expect. So there are a lot of different kind of membrane, but no one is performing in the same way. So for example, in our case of the dynamic, the fabric is stretchy and you have to select a membrane that follow the movement and the stretchiness of the fabric. And so this is what that was one of the most difficult topic during the development of the fabric. So trying to find something sustainable, but it was stretchy as well. So returning back to the topic of the life cycle, at the moment we are focusing to the product that long lasts for a long time and giving also solution of reproofing and aftercare. In that way, you bring your product with you for a long journey. So this is our philosophy. And the next, in the future, there will be a monocomponent jacket, but this is the target. But at the moment, the technology is not there.
What I really liked, obviously, Frostad, who's now exec chairman of Henry Lloyd, summed up really well. And obviously, he's also a keen water goer, a twice Olympic water skier, I think four times a Volvo Ocean Race, twice a skipper. He too knows the environment pretty well and said, obviously, as of Henry Lloyd, that products are to be treasured, right? Retained and reused within families. And in that, obviously, as you've described, Matteo, that means that you're building products of great quality that are built to last and ultimately too need to be looked after. You both know I've got have been wearing a sort of one of the old, it's 25 years old now, Henry Lloyd Biscay jackets that my grandfather bought, actually ironically, somewhat not ironically, for his female crew to do Biscay crossings. And it's still going great. I mean, it is waterproof. You looked after anything and it lasts. But the point is really it comes down to quality. Obviously, there's the technical advancements and development around chemicals and otherwise, right? But well-built things should and do last. I mean, Nick, what were some of the key tweaks and changes that were made or that you recommended to get to the final version of the Dynamic? So I appreciate the version I got, for example, is probably slightly less waterproof than the ultimate product that you ended up with, because that was probably one of the biggest challenges, right? Is waterproofing without the traditional chemicals of waterproofing.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'll just quickly go back to what you were just saying. I think the really big thing for me early on was, you know, the best way to be sustainable is to use less stuff. Like, you can just keep using more and more things and you're not being very sustainable. So by using less things, it's the best thing we can do to be more sustainable in the first place, is by using less. So, but then I think, you know, the massively important thing for any piece of waterproof kit is that obviously it's waterproof and breathable and never feels wet on the inside. You know, that was a massively important thing for me, that whatever we produced was extremely waterproof and breathable, that never felt wet or damp or clammy on the inside. A lot of testing where we went through different fabrics about, you know, what felt good or didn't feel nice on the inside. It was a massive eye-opener to me, to be honest, you know, from when we select a fabric to building a sample to then us trying to break it for a few months and then come feedback and then starting that process again, and just how long that takes to give the fabrics enough hours for us to start make them not work in a way, and use these new fabrics that haven't been used in this way before.
Can't rush perfection, Nick. Hey,
you got to try it.
this is to be really clear, like, this is my celebration of this line is purely because I really enjoy it, nothing other. And to have the ability to have something that's so soft, so quiet, so non-sailing kit, really, I mean, it is pretty astounding. And to your point, the breathability alongside waterproofing kind of is at odds, right? Because you think that anything that's waterproof needs to be so sealed. You need to be like a boil-in-the-bag fish or sailing kit in order to stay completely dry. And what you're demonstrating here is that you don't. I mean, this is textile revolution as much as it's sailing kit revolution, from my perspective.
Yeah, I think a really big thing for me, and you just sort of alluded to it there early on, it was like, I didn't, especially for me, I didn't want to have like various different kits. So I didn't want to have all this different kit to go sailing or do whatever, all this other stuff, and to be less sailor-y in a way, I guess. So like, I didn't want to come off the water and then have to change my pair of shorts, for example. But that was where it started, was to change my shorts and a t-shirt from a sailing t-shirt to a normal pair of shorts to a normal t-shirt, and to try and make that process more streamlined so we didn't look so sailor-y and, you know, sort of old-fashioned in a way. And that was a big push for me to change the how that sort of kit was and how it performs and how we use it as end users.
Incredibly refreshing, right? Because in some ways it's born out of sheer practicality, has also been driving this kind of, or perhaps underlining this sort of sustainable mindset that Henry Lloyd comes with by virtue of you guys in particular, is that you want to be buying less stuff, having less sailing. I mean, it's amazing, speaking for myself, how quickly sailing kit builds up, particularly if you need to be wearing certain things in certain contexts, teams, whatever else. There's a lot of kit. It has to be built to last. No joke. I call these my sea pajamas because I could honestly live in these. I was almost going to sit here and do this podcast with you in the salopettes, but then I probably would overheat just by virtue of already being in a big wool jumper. But again, it's that you want to be able to wear something to death. Do you want to, Matteo, do you want to show us a little bit of the product development itself?
We start from a mood board where I try to collect some images and something that can give like a preview of the kit look like. So some key element that I like, and from that we move to what we need in terms of performance and what are the main things that we are looking for. So combining those two elements on the right, so the shape of the jacket of the kit can start to keep shape, and so there are all the elements that I'm keeping inspiration from. You know, sometimes I kept the inspiration from lifestyle jackets. And this is returning back from what Nick said, that you don't want to be, you know, a sailor when you are outside of the marina. And so we are trying to change the image of the jacket, you know, to something that is more streamlined, more elegant, more modern. And it's really important that I describe you that my background as a ski racer in international ski race in an alpine ski, and I'm a ski instructor. So it's influenced my approach on the design. I think that on a ski environment, the look is much more the skier. Take much more attention to the look than the traditional sailor. So I think that it's a step ahead than the sailor. And what I'm trying to put in that aesthetic to the sailing world, and I think that there is a lot of space to play with. And so trying to give this stealthy look that is the performance, the sustainability, a really important part of the project, that at the moment the fabric, as you said, is really soft and not noisy, and to increase that feeling of stretchiness and comfort, I decided to put the back panel not in a traditional placement with the warp and weft placed in horizontal and in vertical, but placing it in BS, so 45 oriented. And it was not good for us in terms of efficiency in using the fabric, but in terms of comfort, we obtained a four-way stretch doing these tweaks, and it's working really well. When you are bending and you are moving the arms and the shoulder, you can feel this benefit having these four-way stretch.
I mean, just on that point, Matteo, appreciating that, you know, certainly from sailing kit perspective, having bias cut fabric to create that stretch, Nick, that's probably one of the biggest things you would have noticed and appreciated, given, again, how dynamic your sailing is. I mean that, right, with love and respect, because it really is. But having that maneuverability within kit, that you can be in every angle so seamlessly and not in any way feel restricted by your kit.
Yeah, you're bang on. And a lot of that came back from just what Matteo was just showing us there about how your body moves and how our movement patterns are on the more modern boats with the grinding that we need to do and the hiking. All of this dynamic range is based around, you know, performing at the top level, but it is totally applicable to the everyday sailor. So you know, it is, you know, the best of what we can make, i.e. the flexibility. So when you're full hiking on a T52, having a terrible time going upwind for 20 minutes, that you don't feel like the fabric is pulling on your back. So the idea is that it will stretch with you. And the same when you're grinding downwind, that, you know, that your shoulders are free to move as much as possible. And it all goes back to this concept of not feeling like you're wearing traditional stiff, you know, heavy fabric. And along with that, being able to, if the fabrics are more flexible, then we can reduce the volume of the fabric. So to reduce the size down, so that then we haven't got flappy or draggy in, you know, modern world of, you know, faster boats, a draggy, flappy fabric going upwind. So all of those things have to tie in together for it to work. So if the fabric's more flexible, then we can make the product smaller and a slightly tighter fit, which is better for the more athletic range of sailors that we're seeing coming through, I guess, now in where we are with these boats and sailing being more professional at the top level.
Yeah, that's a good point, Nick, that, yeah, this is another element that from other sport where the stretch fabric help the sport person to perform better. Also, we are trying to apply that element to the sailing environment, and in that way, with a stretchy fabric, you can have a tighter fit and no flappy, and also that give you a more, you know, more modern looking, rather than having a bulky jacket that look like, you know, his 70s sailor. So we are thinking about new era sailors. We have to think about new generation of sailor also, that they want to perform better and to look like the best of the marina. And also, it's really important also on the Salopette that we have used the stretch Cordura. So also on the bottom part, we use it something that doesn't restrict the movement. So because it's easier, no, it's not easy to have a stretch fabric for sailor environment, but it's we could have used a standard Cordura, but we didn't. And so we, after 3 months of digging out and the research of fabric, we found a fabric that Cordura that was durable but stretchy, and that's give you a really freedom of movement. So on the bottom part, as you said, is like a pyjama, but there are, it's thanks to the Cordura and the main fabric. And also it's really important to mention that on the bottom of the Salopette, as the bottom shape and the knees part articulated. So basically there are some dart tuck that help you to follow the shape of the body. So like a 3D mapping around the body, and on the knees, thanks to the feedback, we use the really thin EVA foam on the knees. So when you are kneeling down, you have also this kind of comfort that is not common on that kind of kit.
I think what Matteo is just alluding to there is that the kit has been designed, or for sure the Salopettes have been designed specifically for kneeling or sitting rather than standing and walking around. You know, on a boat, on yachts generally, we all spend 90% of your time either sitting down or kneeling down, and a very small amount, you know, walking around, never that far to walk. It was pretty key that everything is super comfy when you're kneeling, for example, which is super common now, and when you're sitting down. And then to add the little bit of foam into the knees was just to help look after the guys and girls. And you know, we're going quite quick on some of these boats now, so to add a little bit of protection in, that when you drop to your knees on the front of a boat, that you have a little bit there that you can carry on performing, you know, for week or two on end, that you haven't got sore knees, is just to add another bit of comfort into the equipment.
It's incredibly incredibly hard surface, right? And obviously in itself often either raised, you obviously get sort of fiberglass covered sand on some decks and whatever else. So I think one of the biggest things for me too around the knees and say the bum is the fact that you've managed to pretty much color match the fabrics. And that again goes back to your point around aesthetics, is that it just feels classy. It looks classy. And I'm not saying that necessarily needs to be the driving factor when you're sort of selecting your sailing gear, but it's such a pleasure to look pretty understated and not sort of the traditionally sailory stuff. I mean, appreciate we all have, you know, the bright hoods and the traditional kind of jackets, but I think there is something really wonderful about the aesthetic direction that Henry Lloyd is going in with this kind of kit. I mean, Nick, do you, on sort of your circuits, have you seen, or are you aware of much desire or interest of, you know, the general consumer demand switching towards more sustainable sailing gear? And if not, do you think if humans knew more about the human impact of some of our traditional sailing kits and the chemicals involved in it, do you think they would be?
I think there's a few parts of that question. I think the whole going back to the knee part, the knee pad bit quickly and the bum pad bit, that was a big thing for me, was to not have separate blocks of colour in a pair of trousers or a, you know, or the jacket. Like, I just wanted it to look the same. And it didn't go down that well because it's a pain to make that sort of thing happen. Henry Lloyd have done a great job of finding those fabrics, getting them to, you know, pretty much colour match. So it doesn't look like you've got a massive knee pad there. It's just part of the garment. And I think that really helps modernise the, you know, the equipment and the kit and brings it up to where we're super happy with it. And then going back to your second part, I think it is massively important. And as part of Emirates LGP, we have a huge push with SailGP to, you know, do more sustainable things in every part of the aspect of the business, whether it be solar or using recycled water to wash the boats. It is a massive part of what we do with SailGP, and I think it's hugely important. And I think, you know, we as sailors and as that level of sailors have a, you know, massively important role in leading the way and showing what can be done with a little bit more effort early on. And then as soon as you've done the effort part, it just comes part of your daily routine or your setup routine. So for SailGP, for example, we have solar power panels on the roof, which provide enough solar for three different teams. And we can run a whole weekend off grid apart from water at the minute. So we are pretty well set up. And then to the clothing side, you know, is massively important. You know, if we've got these things that are just dropping bits of rubbish effectively into our playground every day. I mean, if you drop rubbish into your garden every day, you'd have a pretty nasty garden at the end of it. And it's just, the sea is a wonderful place, but it is so big. And unfortunately, it's very deep. So a lot of stuff does sink, and out of sight, out of mind has been the mantra for the sea for way too long. So we need to do a better job of looking after that. And whether we can see it or not is by the by, but you know when you've dropped it in there.
I think that's a really pertinent point. And I think it kind of sums up in some ways why this is such an exciting project from my perspective, not just for Henry Lloyd, but obviously as a person who's able to wear the kit, is that it is challenging something. I mean, appreciate, you know, through Clean Sailors and everything, I'm aware of some environmental stuff and what needs to change, but sailing kit has largely been relatively untouched. I know we started this whole conversation with, back in the day, it was wool and leather and canvas. It was, and I know there's been substantial changes in it, but I think we're now really appreciating the kind of choices that we've made with fabrics, with the chemical coatings, and then ultimately the impact that it's having. I mean, you know, PFCs, I appreciate, alongside PFAs, are in sort of the mainstream media in particular now as these forever chemicals that we've got all around us in our homes. And the irony is that, you know, as sailors using this playground, as you said, Nick, so directly, I wouldn't say I think we've actually had very little choice in having different types of products and a different kind of way of thinking of design. And I think that's where this collection is so standout from a consumer perspective, that it has really considered my health as well as that of the water that I'm sailing on, that it's not covered in effectively, really crudely, cancer-causing chemicals.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Matteo will probably tell some more, but it's that side of it is all being down to Henry Lloyd. You know, like, I have pushed massively hard for the waterproof and the breathability and the stretch and all the stuff performance related for me. And you know, Henry Lloyd have done a great job of saying, well, that's fine, but we have to achieve all of this so that we future-proof the product and we are sustainable and we're looking after people. So, I mean, I think, you know, Matteo can all say more, as we said, that they have done a great job of looking after the sustainability side and making sure that, you know, it's good and healthy for you guys, for everyone to wear, because, you know, we've been very much, as you just said, down the road for too long of, you know, using these products that we don't know what's on the outside of it, and we don't know what it does to us, you know.
I think also because of that, like I said, you're so used to having quite bulky, quite cumbersome sailing kit, right? And it honestly is challenging in every sense of the word, in a positive sense, that whether it's the lightness, whether it's the weight, whether it's the sound, whether it's the environmentalism of it or the human kind of health element of it, it is pretty revolutionary here.
But also it's really important what Nick said about the performance, because at the moment the fabric is performing much more than the purpose has been designed for. The waterproofness, it's incredible. We send the fabric to external testing laboratory center, where they are doing a long life, like a prolonged testing, you know, to simulate a real life environment. So after 10 wash, 20 wash, 30 wash, so simulating the life cycle of the garment, and we see the fabric is performing in a way that we can't believe. So we have the performance of the offshore waterproofness, but in a jacket that you don't feel to have, and the breathability is incredible as well. So the number are incredible. So the data of that fabric are incredible. So, and everything has been achieved with sustainability message or you know, target in our mind. You know, so it's with the performance, the sustainability, the freedom of movement, the aesthetic. So there are a lot of things condensed in a product that looks really stealthy, really minimal, modern. And sometimes you can see, yeah, but it's clean, yeah. But how many features are in that product that sometimes are hidden or concealed? Yeah.
I think if we just highlight that point from Mateo, even if we look at like simple things like how you hang your garment up. So like the hanger loop on the back, for example, is something that, you know, it can easily be overlooked to how they are stored down below on the boat. So, you know, when it's rough and you fall over and you grab the nearest thing and it happens to be a jacket hanging up on the rack, you don't just rip the hanger loop out the back of your trousers and then your trousers end up living on the floor for a week. You know, the hanger loop is strong enough to hang off, you know, and things like that, where the product has been, every part of it has been looked and tested to the point where we're super happy with it.
Yeah, we tested the back hanger. Yes, that one is basically, this is an H. Can you see that is the shape is an H? So there is the aesthetic, you know, there is a subtle detail of the H of Henry Lloyd with this embossed feeling that I kept the inspiration from the trail running shoes, where there are a lot of surface embossed and different level of the surface, but trying to keep something really functional in and aesthetic looks great, that aesthetically looks great. And this hanger, we tested it in the laboratory and it's performing twice time the standard. So we doubled the performance of this hanger. So it's incredible the how many newton this hanger can resist. So basically there was a machine that is pulled the hanger several times, you know, like a chair testing, so something like that. So it's mechanical test that is pulling until the break point. It was, everything has been tested. So, and what we are doing, that we are investing a lot of money in testing. We are testing from the single fabric, we are testing the trimming, we are testing the detail, and then we are retesting everything when the garment is made. So all the elements are tested separately and retested when they are all assembled together. So, and in that way, we want to be sure that every element of the kit is performing well. So that is a huge work, and where we spent a lot of time. Nick spent a lot of time testing on water. Then there is a lot of time testing in the laboratory, and the engineering and designing and doing the amendment. Nick was a part of the fitting session together, and it was two years work together. So since the beginning that me and Nick, we went in Palma de Mallorca to sail on a TP52 together. I was on a boat to look at what Nick and the crew were doing, and trying to collect more data as possible, and then a fitting session, testing session. That's it.
So really made for sailors. Hey, I have to say, this can't underestimate how strong. I could hang myself up in these salopettes by the hangar. It's that well built in there. But this is, I mean, it's an incredible achievement, honestly. Where does it take Henry Lloyd now? What are perhaps some of the things that you're most looking forward to? Let's say Nick first, in terms of the trajectory, what does this set the tone for in the future, do you think?
Well, for me, it'd just been, you know, it'd be nice to see everyone, you know, just wearing and enjoying the kit. And I think that's all we can ever hope for, really, is that, you know, everyone just likes it. And I think it's a funny thing making clothing, and I've obviously been involved with it with a few America's Cup teams with the clothing side. And clothing's one of those funny things where if you don't hear anything about it, then you've done it really well. If you do, then there's something wrong. So I always say, I don't hear anything from anyone, then generally everyone's very happy, definitely at the top level of stuff. And if they're not happy, then you'll hear about it a bit. So hopefully everyone will enjoy it and we keep pushing forward. And then I guess at some point we'll have to start working on the kit for 2027, 2028, 2029, I guess, at some point. And I think the hardest thing is how far ahead you have to plan and think and look. And that was a huge eye-opener for me. So yeah, I hope everyone enjoys it in a nutshell.
Matteo, what about from your side? What do you want Henry Lloyd to become?
I think that this breakthrough is in a sailing product. So I'm quite sure that this is the kit that the sailor should have to try and feel. We projected everything from the noisy of the fabric. You know, in a car design, there is a lot of attention when you are closing the door to feel the right noise. And we did the same with the fabric, you know, that is not so too crispy and too noisy. And also, I was thinking about doing a race or cruising all the time with this noise of fabric and it's not good. I think that what I can say is that this is the kit for the new generation of sailor that are keep attention to the environment, to the performance and aesthetic. So I think that what I can say.
I think, well, from my experience, you're definitely nailing it. Matteo Alfieri, Henry Lloyd's Director of Experimental Design, and Nick Hutton, professional sailor to the extreme and technical advisor to Henry Lloyd. Thank you both so much for joining me for this conversation. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you to you.
Thanks, Holly. Loved it.
To find out more about Henry Lloyd in general, head to henrylloyd.com. And for this range that we've talked about, the dynamic range, you can find all available kits on their website. Thank you, guys.
You're very welcome. Not bad at that. Well done.
You're not bad at it either. You stick to the grinding.
Stick to the grinding. I'll stick to the grinding. You're good at doing the interview stuff.
For more about Clean Sailors and our projects, just head to cleansailors.com. Thanks for listening and see you for the next episode. This episode is dedicated to Graham Allen, former CEO of Henry Lloyd, Clean Sailors supporter and all-round champ.